This is Taylor Report. Is Tony Leo on the line?
I am.
I want you to lead a walkout, Tony, if you would. You're with Unifor, and you're from Oshawa General Motors, and you're very respected. And people read everything you have to say about matters. So if you would, we would like you to lead a walkout of the General Motors workers. But before you do that, I think we really ask you to be with us today because we need to talk about dramatic developments with the big three, which the big new name for me is Stellantis, because I used to say, I don't know.
Chrysler.
Yeah, I used to say Chrysler, so now I say Stellantis. So Stellantis was supposed to be a hard nut to crack in the bargaining. And UAW has taken quite a whole new tack in terms of bargaining with the big three. And so tell me, tell the listeners, what is disagreement? It's called tentative. Is there some, you think it's significant? And can you talk about the picture, actually?
Sure. The process has been very significant. The what the UAW has done under its new leadership has really been to strike out in a completely new direction, and it really is a turning point, not just for the UAW but for the labor movement in the United States and I believe Canada as well. And it's particularly interesting because the UAW was bargaining with the three major auto companies in the United States at the same time that Unifor has been bargaining with those companies in Canada. And there's some very significant contrast that can be drawn between the approach of the UAW and the achievements of the UAW compared to Unifor.
Mm-hmm.
And as of today, the UAW has tentative agreements with all three companies. All three. GM, they achieved today, Stellantis yesterday, and Ford, of course, a little while ago. And Unifor has two agreements that have been approved, first with Ford and then with GM. And they have a tentative agreement with Stellantis today after a seven-hour strike, which is interesting in and of itself.
Mm-hmm.
If you want me to give a bit of an overview of the difference of the contract.
Yes, please do.
Maybe we'll start with that. The UAW negotiated higher wage increases. They achieved good progress on a number of economic items, but they achieved some things that are really quite significantly different from Unifor. People are aware, I hope, that the biggest issue in the auto industry over the last 15 years or so has been the incredible divisions that the companies have been able to create by having two tiers of workers, or making workers wait for 8 or 10 years before they get the same pay as others. The Unifor contract accepted a four-year wage progression for newly hired workers, so it takes them 4 years to get to the top rate. The UAW got it down to 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
So that is a significant improvement, I would say.
Yeah.
The issue of temporary workers or workers who don't have full-time status has been a problem in both the United States and Canada. And in Canada, at General Motors, Unifor accepted that for the first year of the contract, GM could keep 15% of the workforce in Oshawa as full-time TPTs. We talked about that.
Yes.
Contradiction in the past. And that's what they sold as a collective agreement, that GM could continue to have 15% of the workforce in this category of not full-time status, no seniority, no real rights, and then for the second year, 10%, and for the third year, 5%. So some people in that horrible category will potentially be working at GM in Oshawa for 3 years under this contract that's just been ratified.
Mm-hmm.
In contrast, the Ford agreement at in the United States, negotiated by the UAW, deals with the issue of temps this way. Any current temp workers who have worked for 90 days immediately become full-time workers. 90 days. And any other temps that have less than 90 days now or get hired in the future have to be converted to full-time workers after 9 months.
Mm-hmm.
And not only that, at that point that they become full-time workers, those 9 months count towards their wage progression to the top rate. So they don't have to then do another 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas in the Canadian agreement, the Unifor agreement, any temps who become full-time workers start at day one and have to do a four-year wage progression. So that's a very big difference, and I think it shows the seriousness with which the UAW took on that issue of removing that abuse of temporary workers.
Yeah. And by the way, when these talks started, people were told, these things were unattainable, right?
Yes. There were a whole list of
non-starters.
Would be non-attainable, including the restoration of cost of living adjustment, which they did achieve.
Of living went out of people's vocabulary. It's been gone so long.
And they restored that along with major wage increases. Another thing that people said was not possible is to get the companies to agree that the battery plants that they were setting up that are joint ventures, so they get to claim it's not really theirs. The UAW said they wanted those plants to be included in the master agreement and have the same wages and benefits as all other auto workers. And people said that's not possible. But they did achieve it. And when they rolled out the details of the Ford agreement, which they did yesterday, the tentative agreement, they noted that there's a battery plant in the U.S. That Ford has. Had the name of it somewhere, but I don't see it right this minute. But
Belridge or something like that.
Yeah, it will become part of the Ford Master Agreement with the same wage scale and benefits, same contract as the rest of the Ford plants, and that will happen on the basis of a card check, which means that it's the Marshall battery plant, that all the UAW has to do is show that 50% of the workers have signed cards, and Ford has agreed that that will become part of the Ford Master Agreement in the United States. Also for the Tennessee Electric Vehicle Center, that will come under the Master Agreement if 50% of the workers there are members of the UAW or based on a card check. Mm-hmm. So that is something that really people said is outside what you can achieve in collective bargaining, because those plants are not even represented by the UAW at the moment. But they achieved that. They forced Ford to agree to that. And there's a good contrast with Unifor on that point, because, of course, we know Stellantis is building a battery plant in Windsor, for which our governments are giving them $15 billion or so, give or take a billion.
Mm-hmm.
Today, Lana Payne reported on the tentative agreement with Stellantis in Canada, and discussed the issue of the joint venture battery plant. And what she said is that Unifor made their position crystal clear to the company that they wanted those jobs to be good jobs, union jobs, and in the Unifor collective agreement. And they agreed to have further discussions when the plant is up and running.
Further discussions.
Further discussions.
Viewer discretion advised.
So they didn't win it. They did not get it. And the UAW did get it. And I think that's testimony to their much more militant approach.
Yeah, because they've got everybody out. You know, you're not just talking while everybody's working. They're out. So when they say, oh, you don't want to give us that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, nobody's working.
Every time that they felt that one or other of the management teams was not making enough progress at meeting their demands, they called more plants out on strike.
By the way, how many workers are there in all? Can you give the totals of the UAW?
In the United States, I think they have about 140,000 members, like the three companies.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
In Canada, I think it's 18,000.
18. Total.
Total, yeah. Eight thousand at Stellantis that did their picket duty between midnight and 7 a.m. today and then went back to work.
Yes, it's very interesting. By the way, you have to say, and the UAW leaders are very eloquent, he provides information and incentive, but he explains sort of why they approach UAW now approaches things the way they do. And he actually is a strong believer in action by the members. Mm-hmm. Because if they go out and stay out until they get something, they understand that's where the power is. But
and
if they're told, you know, no, you stay at work while I talk to these guys, mm-hmm. then the power shifts over to mysterious people.
I think it was very clear that Sean Fain and the UAW leadership believed that the workers had to show their power against the companies, that it wasn't the leaders that were going to...
And the workers showed themselves their power.
And they intend to build on that. I want to read a little bit of from what Sean Fain said yesterday, and people can find this on YouTube or on the UAW Facebook page, because there's been just amazing... communication between the leadership and the members all the way through this battle, with regular live updates, sharing all kinds of information that's never been shared before about the demands and about what the different offers from the companies were. And yesterday, in reporting on the tentative agreement with Ford, Sean Fain said this, that they had proposed an expiration date of April 30th, 2028, with all three companies. And they did it for several reasons. First, this allows us to strike on May Day, or International Workers' Day.
He put it...
I'm quoting...
He spelled it out, please. Thank you.
This is a direct quote.
Please repeat that.
This allows us to strike on May Day, or International Workers' Day. May Day was born out of an intense struggle by workers in the United States to win an eight-hour day. Even though May Day has its roots here in the United States, it is widely celebrated by workers all over the world. It's more than just a day of commemoration. It's a call to action. We invite unions around the country to align your contract expirations with our own so that together we can begin to flex our collective muscles. If we are truly going to take on the billionaire class and rebuild the economy so that it starts to work for the benefit of the many and not the few, then it's important not only that we strike, but that we strike together.
Wow.
That's just the first reason why they want to have the expiry date on May Day in 2028. And the second reason, he said, is that we demanded a longer contract. It's 9 months longer than their previous contract. But they did that because one of our biggest goals coming out of this historic contract victory is to organize like we've never organized before. When we return to the bargaining table in 2028, it won't just be with the big three, but with the big five or big six.
Wow.
So they are really putting on the agenda that they are going to organize the non-unionized auto workers in the United States that work for Toyota and Honda and a couple of the other transplant companies. And they're setting out to do that. I think they're serious about it, and that will be a complete game changer for the labor movement in the United States, and it'll have spillover effects in Canada.
With these significant and undeniable gains, they're in a position to sell the product, to say to those workers not organized, see what you get, if you have a union.
That's right.
Whereas for about 20 years, the unorganized guy would say, I'm doing as well as you.
Yeah, or
and
better.
They cut my wages, they cut your wages. What the heck's your union doing?
Yep.
I heard that around the house a lot.
We all have heard that, and it's been dispiriting. You know, who needs a union? Somebody once said, workers don't need a union to go backwards.
That was Bob White, yes.
It was Bob White. But we've seen a lot of workers going backwards, unions going backwards, and I think they've put an end to that. UAW has, and that's good for all of us. And what's, I think, most important is that clearly the members of the UAW are being told by the leadership that this is not just an issue of what we can achieve for ourselves, but it's part of a broader struggle for the whole working class. And, you know, another quick quote here, Sean Payne says, this contract is more than just a contract. It's a call to action to workers everywhere to organize. It's a turning point in the class war.
Wow.
And
he wouldn't be able to say that in Canada. That's hate speech. That's hate speech.
It's against the billionaire class, yeah.
Hate speech.
But as he points out, you know, there has been a class war raging, and the billionaires have been getting the better of it. So it's
they say so, right? One of the big ones, one of the really wealthy guys said.
Warren Buffett said, there is a class war, and my class is winning it.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Let's send him a message. last thing, Tony, I want to... This is all subject to ratification, right?
Yes, it is.
There is a matter of transparency, knowing what's in the contract and whether or not you want it.
And that's another huge contrast between Unifor and UAW. Unifor has followed the typical pattern of not releasing any details until the very last minute, not releasing the entire contract, but just the highlights, and only giving people a day or two before they have to vote on it. And that's what's happening again. Lana Payne announced today, you know, that they'll have the leadership meeting on Friday, and then they'll have the members will see the details on Saturday and have to vote on it. Whereas with the UAW, when they rolled out the Ford agreement, tentative agreement yesterday, they published online a 36-page highlight brochure, which is actually a lot more information than Unifor has done. And at the same time, they posted what they call the white book, or the changed language. Every change made to the collective agreement with Ford was posted online. That's 856 pages.
Wow.
Which, of course, is a huge amount. Not everybody's going to sit and read all of that.
But what's they can. Happening, the thing is, they can.
They can. And what's already happening, what's already happening on social media is that workers are reading through it and saying, hey, I found this. What does this mean? Or what do you think of this? And they're debating all of that. And what Sean Fain said was that people are going to have time. They're going to, he said, And this is going to roll out over, a couple of weeks. It's not happening in a day or two. After there has been time to debate and discuss, each UAW member at Ford will have a right to vote at local union meetings. So the process is completely different, far more transparent, and involves the members. Yes. Far more before they make a decision.
Even educates, because then the member is conversant with the language.
That's right. It's not
a hearsay matter.
Right as we speak, they're debating online about the, details of the contract language that's been signed. Every page, by the way, of this white book has the signatures of the company and union initial each page of the change language. So it's all there for the workers to see. And you will remember, because we talked about it, that Unifor members had a petition 3 years ago that Unifor should follow the same process. And Jerry Dias didn't even deign to respond to the petition, although he told the Automotive News that he wasn't concerned about it, because when he's fighting elephants, he doesn't pay attention to mice.
That is a quote that will live in infamy.
Yes.
Well, Tony, thank you very, very much. This is exciting, and we're going to stay with it, because these workers are exercising, of course, now newfound rights, and they're going to be thinking about it. And so it's going to have, no doubt, some new chapters before it's all done.
You're right. Thanks, Phil.
Thank you very much.